League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
97.5 to ESPN Cleveland, where in addition to radio and TV duties, I think I can fairly say the defining cover man for the Cleveland Browns, going all the way back to when Frank Minifield and Hanford Dixon were defining cover men for the Cleveland Browns. Tony Grossi joins the program for our Beat Guy segment, setting up the Texans and Browns, a game with meaningful implications for both teams, a tad beyond what we might have thought in mid-September. Tony, Charlie, and Houston, I appreciate the time. And, I mean, it really is incredible, other than that you've experienced it all, that the last 11 seasons, the Browns have once been better than 5-11. Now post-Hugh Jackson, I know a little bit of a honeymoon with Greg Williams, but do you feel that genuinely the clouds are truly beginning to part for the Browns franchise?
Well, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And it comes down to the fact that they've finally found their quarterback. He's really good, Baker Mayfield, and he's really young, and he's early in his career, but he's taken command of this team. When I thought the team was flying off the rails, he's kind of put it back together with the interim coach and the replacement offensive coordinator, and the three of them, I think, are the most responsible for the Browns having a shot at some meaningful games here.
Well, certainly in Cleveland, I know it's been all the rage, the Hugh Jackson, Baker Mayfield postmortems and so forth, and I found your recent column very interesting on it. I don't know that Baker Mayfield tactically had it in mind, but the vigor with which he defended himself, went at Hugh Jackson, however would best characterize it, that you see it as a real telltale moment for Mayfield and where the Browns could be headed.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a... I think it could be a turning point for the franchise, because I think it's the point where the quarterback has asserted his leadership, off the field. He's been doing it the last two games on the field. But I think it's kind of galvanized the entire, not just the locker room, but the entire organization. It comes at a time where they have a critical game for them, and I think it's nothing but, on the way up from this point out.
Greg Williams, with long ago coaching roots, both the University of Houston and with the Oilers, and Bounty Gate on his record and so forth, a personal revival opportunity for him. How strongly do you think he's elevated himself for the shot at the so-called permanent gig?
Wow, he would win it in a public vote of their fans right now, but they're not the ones making the decision. And it's hard to gauge what John Dorsey is going to do right now. He inherited Hugh Jackson, so now is his chance to select his own coach. And I really think that Greg was not anywhere on the radar until this happened, until the firing of Hugh. And I don't even think the original plan was to have Greg take over as the interim. It would have been Todd Haley, but then he got his head cut off in that Black Monday on October 29th also. So, with every win, he's got to be taken a lot more seriously as the permanent coach. I would say he's still a long shot with Dorsey, because of what I said, he's got his chance to hire his own coach finally, and he's not going to take another one he inherits unless he's sure that Greg is the best man for the job.
Talk with Tony Grossi on the Browns beat. You allude to Dorsey, who would seemingly finally give them sustainable quality if he's polished up the personal skills, I guess, as opposed to the personnel skills from his time in Kansas City. Their talent nucleus actually seems pretty good. They're going to be swimming with cap space again this offseason, yes?
Yeah, not only cap space, but extra draft picks. I think they have 11 picks again. Maybe it's 10. First time in like 3 or 4 years they only have one in the first round, but they got a lot of picks to do things with, 2 in the 3rd, 3 in the 5th. They have their franchise quarterback. They have their franchise pass rusher. they have an elite franchise cornerback. So those are three big building blocks already in place just in their first and second season. So he had a really, really good draft this year besides Baker Mayfield and besides Denzel Ward, the cornerback. So it's really an enviable spot to be in as general manager, now with a chance to pair up your franchise quarterback with pretty much a coach of your choice. So it's a real critical decision. He's got to get that right, and it's going to be interesting how it develops.
Tony, you alluded to the elite pass rusher, Myles Garrett, of course, overall number one out of Texas A&M a year ago. 10 sacks in 11 games. His overall play reflective in those numbers?
I think he's actually playing better than that. He's had a couple sacks erased by penalty, and he's been kind of a one-man gang. This other end, Emmanuel Agbaugh, was supposed to either benefit from Miles' season or open things up for Miles. And Agba's kind of not had the year everyone's anticipated. So Garrett is constantly double-teamed. And I know that, you know, if you're an elite pass rusher, you're gonna have to defeat that somehow. But he still does, like I said, have 10 sacks. He's had a couple strip sacks, a couple fumble recoveries. He blocked a field goal in Cincinnati last week. But I think really he's due for a monster game, a highlight game before this year is out. And I mean multiple sacks, multiple turnovers, things we've seen J.J. Watt do against the Browns in the past. And I'm wondering if the turf over there in the Energy Stadium might be the place for it.
Yeah, well, certainly a vulnerable Texans offensive line. I'm sure Myles Garrett additionally geeked up to have that opportunity in the state of Texas. Conversely, Browns offensive line versus the Texans front. They spent big on a couple of free agents the last couple of years. Betonio, a good draft pick. Treader, the center, is he going to play? And not that he's a blocking tight end, but David Njoku, another Mayfield weapon. Any health update there?
Yeah, Treader will play. He just doesn't practice. He's playing through a high ankle sprain. He's actually been outstanding the last two games. They haven't faced anywhere near the defense in these three games under Greg Williams that they will in Houston. So, but the interior of the line is the strength. But they're getting outstanding play from this Greg Robinson, a former bust of the Rams, who's really provided Baker some comfort at the blindside tackle position. So their line's in really good shape unless Treader would go down. Their backup center is a rookie, and he has already declared out for this game. So if Treader can't go through this game, it's going to cause some anxious moments for the Browns.
Tony,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
What was the other part of that question?
And Joker.
Yeah, Njoku is a very, very athletic tight end who has had some drops in his early career, and then he'll make an outstanding catch. I've said he needs to be covered almost to make the catch. When he's open, he has sometimes lost focus. Very athletic guy, though, and still developing. Very young. I think he just turned 21.
You also alluded to Denzel Ward, their other high first-round draft pick, the corner from Ohio State, who's been running a one-man gauntlet of elite receivers. Will they try to lock him on DeAndre Hopkins, or they do more side-to-side?
Well, they've done both. You know, he's faced Antonio Brown twice. He's faced Julio Jones. He's faced just about every top receiver in the league, and now it's Hopkins. I don't know what the rhyme or reason is, but sometimes he will follow a shadow, the number one receiver the entire game. Other times it might be just for a quarter, and then he'll stay on the I think he's on the left side of the defense. So it's anyone's guess. I don't know what Greg Williams' game plan calls for this week, but Ward has been outstanding, and he's a Browns haven't had. You mentioned Minifield and Dixon. They haven't had a cornerback like Denzel Ward since those days in the 80s.
Notable company. A couple of other things before I let you go. Texans at 8-3. They've had an overall very soft schedule, but to their credit, they haven't lost anybody in more than 2 months. They haven't proven that they run with the big boys. But in this AFC, do you see it as Kansas City and in a drop down? How many viable AFC teams do you see with actually non-fantastical dreams for Super Bowl 53 appearance?
Yeah, I would say three, with Houston right there, you know, to be determined. Kansas City, New England, and I'd put the Chargers in that elite group too, even though they're going to come in as a wild card. You know, you guys know the Texans. I mean, do they have the character to take the next step? I mean, the 8 in a row is fine, and they're doing what, you know, the schedule calls for. But can they go on the road and win a game and then possibly go on the road again and win a game in the playoffs? I'm not sure. I mean, there's no track record of that. So we'll see. But they certainly have, on paper, the talent to do it as long as their quarterback holds up.
And finally, for this Sunday, Texans favored 5.5, 6, I think, is where it settled. It's a very interesting game. All the enthusiasm for the Browns, the first back-to-back wins in 4 years. They snapped the 25-game road losing streak. What's your sense, your hunch, your dart at the board for Sunday?
Well, you know, I really believe this is a different Browns team. It's in the process of turning the corner, and this game would be a significant step in that. I do think the Texans are coming off an emotional night, you know, honoring the memory of Bob McNair, big division win. They got a division game next week against the Colts. I think this really is an opportune time for the Browns to be flying into Houston. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Browns win this game, although, you know, I surely respect Houston. But I think if the Browns are going to score that big upset over a team that's better than them, it could be this Sunday.
Tony Grossi, ESPN Cleveland and beyond. Hey, very much appreciate the time and insight. Obviously, the Texans and Browns don't play routinely, but always the guy I want to get on. Safe travels, and we'll look for you on Sunday, Tony. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.